We'll turn there. And as far as I know, tonight we'll close out this series on about the valleys. About God is good even in the valley. Amen. I figure it's a good song to close out with. Start on it. And we'll close out. Lord, unless the Lord changes his heart. Miss Tracy came up this morning and said, Brother Freddie found a valley. And I said, he's found something he was studying on. And I said, yeah, there's a pile of them in the Bible. There's a lot of valleys in the Bible, the ones you can find. But it seemed like for the series is where we should stop. We learned that we ought to be stirring in the valley. Don't lay down in a grave. Amen. In the valley, worst thing you can do is the valley is lay down in it. And have a pity party. They say amen right there. Don't we do that? And you have a pity party in the valley, it'll turn into a grave. Amen. And then also, we ought to do some shoveling in valleys that we got ourselves into we shouldn't never got into. Amen. There's some we'll have to shovel our way out. And then there's some we'll need to be searching in. You need to understand that a lot of times in the valleys, we're going to get our sharpest sword, our best sword in the Word of God, some of the things we pick up while we're down in the valley. And then we ought to be singing in the valley. Amen. God's going to give us victory by our singing and having joy and trusting Him. And then we ought to be praying that when someone else in the valley and they need help, we ought to be willing to stay in the valley with them until the victory is completely won. And then this morning preached on about signaling to the valley. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I can't pronounce things. But we ought to be signaling to the valley that they're going to lose and we're going to win. Amen. And that's why it's so important to live the Christian life. And I tell you, I thank the Lord for sharing something with me this morning while I was preaching. I'm glad that God can take a valley experience and turn it into a meadow. But the key is getting the enemy out of the valley. Amen. Amen. The only way you're going to do that is let them know that they're going to lose and you're going to win. Amen. I believe there's a lot of valleys we wouldn't have to go through. They wouldn't be so bad had we got the enemy out before we got there. Amen right there. And so, you know, a lot of times we probably go through a lot of valley experiences that if we had the victory before we ever got to the bottom, wouldn't be near as bad. In fact, I could say all of them, if we had the victory before we got to the bottom, wouldn't be near as bad. Amen. I want to preach tonight on out of the Song of Solomon chapter number 2. And if you will, go ahead and turn there. And if you will, stand. Go ahead and stand there. And while I'm there, I'm looking at something else. Real quickly. Y'all forgive me, right? Oh, I got it. Okay. Amen. I'm glad the Lord let me find that real quick. Amen. All right. Second Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse number 1. Very familiar scripture. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Amen. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. I'm going to preach tonight on surviving the valleys. Surviving the valleys. And the only way we're going to survive the valley is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I see it. There's no big, deep, dark secret on that. The only way I can survive the valley, the only surviving of the valley, is having God with me in that valley. Amen. And so I want to close on that tonight. And I just want to take tonight this lily. I've preached on this as a young preacher years ago. It's been added to since then. This is not the same message. Some of y'all said, I've heard it before. You ain't heard this before because I ain't never preached on it. But there's some things I found out about the lily as he represents himself here as that lily that you need to know about and how that lily, he says, now I'm out. That's what I am. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. And so if he calls himself a lily, we ought to understand something about that lily, I think, in order that we might survive these valleys. Amen. Amen. Now, there's only one lily, but there's a lot of valleys. Amen. A lot of valleys. And so we want to survive them. And we're going to have to know something about Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother Ernie, tonight we lead in prayer. Will you please pray for me? Amen. As a young preacher, I'm not young anymore, but as a young preacher, this is one of my favorite passages to preach on. If I got a chance to preach somewhere and they let me preach, I love to preach about this lily of the valley. And I want to just share some things with you tonight. If I make a mistake, make a mess of things, y'all pray for me. But I want to look at this thing and the characteristics of this lily tonight and understand that if we'd understand who he is, We'd already have the victory won if we'd understand who He is, because all we have to do is find Him.
Amen.
Amen. All we got to do is find Him, and we can win. We can be all right in the valley, and we can survive. We can have some surviving in these valleys. And the first thing I want to look at the characteristic of this Lilianite is the characteristic of its stature. This lily that grows, that's called the lily of the valley, grows in almost every valley over in the Middle East and even some in this area. And we find out that the lily grows about 3 foot in height. When it's full grown, it's 3 foot in height. Now, 3 foot in height in the valleys over there is way beyond most any other plant that will grow. In other words, its height is much easier. It towers over every other plant that's around it, 3 foot in height. And so any other flowers, any other weeds are completely overwhelmed by its height, its stature. And that Christ is the same way, and God is the same way. And it talks about His height in Isaiah 57:15. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And so one of the first aspects of God that we know is that He's high and He's holy and He's above us. It's beyond us what we can comprehend or what we can know. And we know that God's ways are better and higher than our ways. Amen. And I know that when I get in the valley, no matter how I see things around me, no matter how I picture the valley to be, no matter how many briars they are, or even those that are seeming higher than me, I am assured there is nobody that is higher than Him. I am assured that there's no one that has outthought God. Amen. No one has overcome God. No one has overwhelmed God. No one has put down God. Amen. And so in the valley, one of the greatest comforts I find in the valley is the fact that God is higher than anything else surrounding. And so God is easily found in the fact that He's up above everybody else. Amen. And so His stature tells us, His height of this lily tells us that He is beyond everything around Him. But I found out something else about this lily. Even though it's very tall, it has a bulb on it, a flower on it. And it's not the what they call the Easter lily. That's not the lily in the Bible, by the way. They say that's the Easter lily. That ain't got nothing to do. That ain't got nothing to do with the Bible lily. The Bible lily is a total different plant, a total different flower. The true lily here mentioned here has a flower that holds its head way up high, about 3 foot. But at the top, it holds that flower bulb down. And it has a picture of humility. It doesn't hold its head up. It holds its head down. And it looks down towards the earth. And I like to say tonight, I'm glad we got a God that's above, higher than anything else around. But I'm also glad that He's a God that's willing to look down upon us and see us where we are. And I thought about that over what He said in Philippians 2 verse 6. He says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God." Jesus never thought it was not robbery. He was not thinking or taking anything away from God the Father, in that He was equal with God. But though He was equal with God, the Bible says, "But He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And so, as we look at this lily, we find out that his statue is very high, and it may seem from our aspect unreachable, but the thing about the lily is it has a humble spirit about it, and it bows its head, that old flower of it, the best it's got to show, looks down towards the earth. Isn't that something? He says, "I'm the lily." And He says, I want you to know, when He represents Himself there, I want you to know that although I'm very tall and very high, I'm very humble. Amen. The second thing I find about this is not only the characteristic of its stature, but the characteristics of its smell or its fragrance that it has. They tell us that over in France, there is a perfume that is very sought after. In fact, when it was first created, I read about this today, when it was first created, In order to get this perfume, you would have to give a half a year's wages in order to afford to buy just a small portion of this perfume. And that perfume was made out of this lily of the valley. And so it was very costly and very pricely to make that perfume. It's very sought after perfume. And so that smell of it is great. The Bible says over in the Song of Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 10, about Solomon, excuse me, not the Song of Solomon, but about Solomon. It says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 18, "Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best of gold." And so King Solomon, when he was building his kingdom and he built his throne, think about how many elephant's tusks it took to make the ivory throne. Just to make an ivory throne. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of elephant's tusks had to be brought together in order to make that thing. But I was reading today in Psalms 45 and 8. I want to share this with you. And it's talking about God. And it says, "All thy garments smell of myrrh." That's perfume. "And aloes and cassia." I mean, just fragrance after fragrance. "And out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad." The Bible says that God has an ivory palace. Solomon had an ivory throne. But it says that God has an ivory palace. Amen. I mean, listen, let me rephrase that. It doesn't say, I just said it wrong. He doesn't have an ivory palace. It says, "out of the ivory palaces." Amen. I don't believe he had to go over there and rip no, I don't believe he had to find no elephant in heaven to find one either. I believe God just said, "I don't think I'll make it out of ivory." And it was so. Amen. He said, "Let there be light." And it was so. And God said, I want my palaces. I can't imagine. I want my palaces. Wow. I just thought about something. He said, "I go prepare a place for you, and where I am, you be also." Amen. And it just dawned on me. He said, he said he goes over there to make us a, no. He didn't go over there to make us a palace. You're misreading that. Jesus did not go back to heaven to build you a palace. No. He said, "I go to prepare a place." What does that mean? He went back to heaven to place the blood on the mercy seat so we would have access to the palaces. You know what he did? He went back to heaven and put our name on the mailbox post. Hey, the Bible says that God has ivory palaces. And if he has ivory palaces and he went to prepare me a mansion, I don't think God's going to downgrade us. Hey, not knowing God. Hey, I never knew. Man, I'm going to have an ivory palace over there. Amen. Solomon didn't have nothing. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, the Bible tells us, Matthew 12:42, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." That's what Jesus said. He said, "I'm greater than Solomon." Now the Bible says over there that God comes out of his ivory palaces smelling of myrrh and aloes and cassia. I mean, boy, he is perfumed up coming out of the palaces. I didn't get into that palaces. Man alive, I'm going to have to take it. Y'all, let me catch up for a minute. I'll be back with you here in a minute. I'm thinking about that thing now. Amen. The Bible says here that he's greater than Solomon. And look at how his grace soothes us with the fragrance of who he is. In Proverbs chapter 7, 27 verse 9, the Bible says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so that the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And the counsel of a good friend will bring a fragrance to the heart." Amen. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, we read this at Christmas time, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Here's the thing, that flower of his word and the flower of his counsel brings peace and grace to the heart. Amen. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, if you study about that flower, you'll find out that that lily has a fragrance. In fact, that lily's fragrance is so strong that if you smell it, you can't smell nothing else about around you. All the other things of the valley cannot overpower the smell of that lily. But there's a little trick to that thing. Shouldn't say a trick. There's something you got to know about it. That lily's about 3 foot high, and it holds its flower down in a bowl, in a like a bale. And if you get near that, you can't smell it just looking at it. The only way to really get the fragrance of that lily is you have to get down on your knees under about 3 foot. And then you can get the smell of that fragrance. When you get on your knees before that lily, all of a sudden everything else around you does not matter, nor can you pick up on it, nor can you smell it. You are completely overwhelmed by the smell of that lily. And all your senses give way to it. Amen. Ain't anybody else here been around that lily before? When you said that, boy, I tell you, life's going crazy, and I need some peace of God, and I need some grace on my life. Have you got that on your knees before Him? And then all of a sudden all your senses went away, and there was nothing in this world you could see but Him, and there's nothing in this world you could think about but Him, and there's nothing in this world that mattered but Him. You ever been on your place like that before? Boy, I have. Y'all hold my horses. That same lily is coming to get me one of these days. I can't hardly wait to get the last point. Amen. Hey, let me tell you, we have a lily that is greater than anything else. The fragrance and the smell of that lily overwhelms everything else. In Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 13 says, His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Oh, the kisses of the sun. When He kisses us, the sweet smelling, and that myrrh of His sweet smelling taste is on our lips. Hey, listen, it smell that lily. He says, I am the lily of the valleys. And when we look at that lily, we find that the fragrance and the smell of that lily is worth being around. Amen. It has great price to it. Amen. There is a great price. There is a great blessing in being around Jesus. That was weak, church. There is a great blessing of being around Jesus. Amen. I believe that tonight. Number three, the characteristics of a lily is not only its stature and its smell, but its sight. You said, preacher, you already talked about its sight. No, I talked about its height. I want to talk about its sight. If you were to walk down in the Mid-Eastern countries and you'd find out you'd be getting to look for that lily, you'd stand there and you say, preacher, all I do is I look for the tallest plant. Well, I dare say you might do that. But what if that plant is growing on the side of the mountain in the background? And if there's some grass in the background, you may not be able to see it at first unless you're real close, would you? You may not be able to see it real good at first. Amen. Because a lot of things, a lot of times we're way off from it. Sometimes we're way off from Him and we can't see Him all that He is. But He still is. Let me assure you this. He already is whether you see Him or not. But you know how you see that, you know how you see the sight of the lily? I found out this. Not only is the lily tall in its height, but its color is bright. It's a snowball white. And you get down that valley, and all the hues of dirt, and all the hues of brown, all the hues of green, is very dark in the background. But you look over that valley, and over there on the other side, there's a lily growing. That lily has that bright snowball white flower sitting on it. You know that one that looks down at us. Amen. And you say, man, I wish I could find the lily. And all you do is you look for something that's white. And sure enough, that's the lily. You say, preacher, what are you saying? The Bible says in the Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 16, His mouth is most sweet. Yea, He is altogether lovely. And this is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. The Bible says He's altogether lovely. There's something about His look that stands out. The Bible says, He says, I'm the lily of the valleys. And that lily is a white flower. And you say, preacher, what does that white mean? Well, you know what it means. It speaks of His purity. The Bible says over there in Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 10, my beloved is white and ruddy. The chief is among 10,000s. It said, you know what she says? It said He's white and ruddy. You know what ruddy is? Red. What do you see in Jesus? You see purity and the blood. My goodness. That's all you can see in Him. And you look across there and you find that white flower. And you find out there's a white flower there. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 talks about this. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And the ancient of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, his throne like fiery flame, and his wheels are burning fire. It says, when you look at the throne, think about it. He sits in ivory palaces, amen. He sits in ivory palaces. He's clothed in white. His hair is white. Everything about him speaks of purity. Everything about him speaks of purity. I thought about the permission we have. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. As white as snow. Revelation chapter 3 verse 4 says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Amen. And the Bible says that he'll clothe them with that linen cloth, that white linen cloth. It's not because who we are, but it's because who he is. We have permission to wear the white. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying if you get down your valley and you're looking for the Lord, just look for something that's pure. Look for something that's holy. Look for something that's right. Well, I can find it right here. Now, this is the written word. Amen. But he is the word. Amen. You say, preacher, if I get down the valley and everything looks dark, everything looks brown and green, and I can't see his height, all he does, what should I do? I should just search the scriptures, for in them you'll find me. That's what he says. Amen. You'll find me within these scriptures. Amen. And we find him as being holy. So the lily is easily found because there's a white flower on the other side. You said, preacher, you going somewhere? Oh, yeah. We see its stature, its smell, its sight, and its stimulant. I found out about a lily that the flower contains, and you that do all this transcriptionist can probably say this better, but it's a convalatoxin, convalatoxin. And there's a toxin in this thing. Now, not one that is poisonous, but it is a chemical used to stimulate the heart. It's one to stimulate the heart, kind of get the heart to beat a little bit. And kind of get it to start getting the right rhythm. And I thought about, you know, you can't hardly think about Christ and not think about him stimulating the heart a little bit. He stimulates the heart by conviction. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. We find out he stimulates the heart by coming in the heart. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. He comes in and dwells. He stimulates the heart by cheering the heart. In John 16 verse 22, he says again, he says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart shall rejoice. Amen. And so he stimulates the heart. He cheers the heart and stimulates it. And he comforts the heart and it stimulates it. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All of a sudden, God just says, everything gonna be all right. I almost ran this morning. I should go ahead and run tonight. Just take a lap around the church and wake the whole neighborhood. God just says, everything gonna be all right. And you just know it's so. What's God doing? He's taking that heavenly toxin and stimulating the heart. Let it catch up a few beats, not be draggy. And I'll have a slow heart rate. It starts to stimulate that soul, and that soul starts to think about him. Starts to get excited. That bride gets to think about her groom, kind of gets her stirred up a little bit. Amen. Boy, I'm glad we have a Savior that is a stimulant to us. Boy, I'm glad I'm not worshiping old dead Buddha laying down somewhere waiting for him to tell me what something dead religion that ain't going to happen. I'm glad we got a great, holy, and powerful God that can stimulate. Hey, my God lives. Just thought I'd introduce him to you. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. What does it say? I know that he is living, whatever men may say. How do I know that? You know the rest of it? He lives with it. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You know how? You know what he does? He stimulizes my heart. Hey, there's more about it. You know what else I find out about that old... Somebody ought to shout. You know what else I find out about that old lily? That old lily nobody cares about. I find out that it has a solution to our problems. You take the water from that lily and you distill it down and it restores the voice and removes faintness. You say, I'm about to fall out. You just take some of that lily juice and drink it. You'll get over it. Psalms 47:1, the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That's what God does. He gives us the voice of triumph. Isn't that what I said this morning? You need to shout down in the valley and say, we are winning, and you're going to lose. Psalms 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. I'd have fell out if I didn't know that God was real. And I was going to see his goodness while I lived. I'd have fell out, but I didn't fall. I didn't faint because I knew I'd see it. I knew I'd see God's goodness in the land of living. That's what he said. And so you take the pure water of that lily and you drink it down and it restores the voice and keeps you from fainting. You can take that thing out. You know, they say you can take lily and take that lily into the body, some of that lily juice or some of the extract of that lily, and it helps your liver. You know what your liver does, don't you? Keeps you pure. Amen. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And then verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he's pure. He said, preacher, what are you saying? If I know that I'm saved, and I do, and I know that he's going to come back and get me one of these days, and I do, and I know when he comes back, I'm going to be like him. Because he said I would be, and I don't know what that is, but it's going to be something. Amen. Yes, then don't you think that ought to motivate me to live a pure life? Yes, you know, the preacher can't make you pop a whip all day. You ought to get right, You know, we do that. We do that because the Bible tells us to. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Cry loud, spare not. Tell people their sins. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tell people about their sins. But a person that's saved and know that the Lord saved them, the Lord's going to come back and change them one of these days, purifies himself. Somebody tells me sometimes, well, I just don't know what I ought to get out of my life. I don't believe that. You will never sell me that. I will not buy that bus ticket. I am not going with you in the direction that you say you're going. You tell me that God moved inside you and can't not motivate you to tell you what you need to get out of your life. Come on. Come on, you know better than that. I know better than that. Amen. You can't sell that bill of goods. Listen, it cleans the liver. It gets the impurities out. And so that's the solution he has for us. And he's a surety for us too. I found out this according to the encyclopedia. They're the favorite wildflowers written in 1965, way back when I was born. There's a flower that imitates the lily of the valley. It imitates it. It tries to look like it, act like it, everything. But it can't produce what it produces. It can't produce the fragrance, and it can't produce the attributes, and it can't reproduce itself the same way. And I found out the Bible says in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it's the last time. There was a man in 1965 called Daniel Wassa, and in Kenya, he told them that he was going to get crucified to die for the sins of Kenya. And he talked his wife into taking him up on a hill and crucifying him, nailing him to a tree up there on the hill. And while she nailed him to that tree, she fell down on the ground, passed out, and died because of the stress of nailing her husband to a tree. And he got up there and people tried to beg him, said, you need to come down there. You're going to die. You're going to die. No, I'm going to die for the sins of Kenya. And finally, the sicker he got, he decided to come off the tree. So they took him down. But he died of the wounds. Now, did he get nailed to a tree? Yes. Did he say that he was nailing, getting nailed to a tree to pay the sins for somebody? Yes. What's one thing missing? 3 days later. There ain't nobody, nobody ever done what Christ did. Many people can say what they're going to do. There's a man in Charlotte who's called, I think I'm right, Daddy Grace. Yep. Old Daddy Grace is going to take up funds. Took up a bunch of funds, said, 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the grave. I'm 46 years old. I'll be 47 in January. And you know what? I ain't seen him yet. You know what? I got news for you. He ain't coming up either. Not in this resurrection. Many antichrists. There's a lot of imitators. But the fact about the lily is, it has a surety, it has a very good testimony. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, it says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There were many priests before Jesus, but they couldn't continue. Why? They died. It says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Amen. What's the surety of that lily is that it just keeps coming back. It just keeps coming back. Do you know the lily is like a bulb plant? It looks like it disappears. And then almost overnight, it just poof, right back up again. All of a sudden, it just poof, it's up. You went to bed at night, wake up in the morning, it's up. Isn't that amazing? No matter how cold it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how swampy it gets, that old lily jumps back up one morning, all of a sudden like, and it's rose up again. He says, I am the lily of the valleys. You can count on me coming back up in the morning. I'll be up one morning. Now, here's the last thought, and I'm done. The lily spreads itself. It has deep roots, and it runs its roots along the ground, and all of a sudden it starts sprouting up other lilies. Now, you still have your Bible open? Look at with me in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. Look at it with me now. I'm going to show you. Boy, the Bible's right. He says, I am the lily of the valleys. Is that what he says? Look at verse 2 now. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, this is still the lily talking. This is still the groom talking about the bride. And he says, as the lily. Now, she's not the lily, but as the lily. She looks like the lily. She starts taking on the characteristics of the lily. In other words, she's not the main shoot, but she's the branch. You're the branches. Amen? You're just the branches. I mean, you and her, if you're saved tonight, you're the branch of him. Amen? Now watch this. The Bible says, as a lily among thorns, that those other lilies that come off that plant are injured many times in the valley. Why? Because there's a lot of briars around them. They begin to try to grow up, and as they begin to spring up, there's briars around them. Them old thorns that stick in them and poke on them and stick them like that. The Bible talks about in Numbers chapter 33, verse 55, says that there'll be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And in this old valley we grow up in, there's going to be a lot of thorns, a lot of things in our eyes, a lot of trouble, and a lot of folks around us is going to cause us problems and try to steal the soil that we're living in and try to soak up everything while we're trying to live for God. Amen? Now, not only is there injury, but I want you to get that. And see, I want you to miss this. Not only is there injury, but read that verse with me one more time. Somebody read it for me out loud. Verse 2.
As the lily among thorns, so is my love.
Whoa. As the lily. Mm-hmm. Now, not the lily, but as the lily. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of times, notice how Christ talks about this. He says, there's some injury to her. There's some injury to her. But I want you to know what she identifies with first. She has an identity. What's her identity? As the lily. But Ty, what they call us when we get saved. The Bible says you get saved, and after a while people start calling you, you say, oh, they're a Christian. What does Christian mean? Christ-like. Amen. What is our greatest aspect? It's not the thorns. We focus on the thorns, don't we? We focus on the injury part. But where we need to be focused is on the identity part. He's made us like Him. As the lily among the thorns. As the lily. You and I get to be like lily. We are identified with someone that give us life. And we're rooted and grounded in love. And all of a sudden we start sprouting up overnight. I guess that's pretty good, preacher. All right. Turn over chapter. Look at verse number, chapter number 8. Verse 5. This ain't notes. It's just free here. It won't cost you nothing. This is just Bible. Just want to share something with you. Who is this that cometh down? No. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Sound like coming out of the valley, don't it? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under an apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. You know who he's talking about, don't you? He's talking about his bride. And she's leaning on her beloved, coming up out of the valley. That's good, preacher. All right? That don't satisfy you. Turn one chapter. Turn chapter 6. Look at this, chapter 6 and verse number 2. Two chapters back. My beloved is gone down into his garden to the beds of spices, fragrance, perfume, to feed in the gardens and to gather, what? Lilies. One of these days we're going to come up out of all these valleys. You know why? Because he's going to go down to his bed, he's going to go down to his garden, and he's going to pull up the lilies and take them home with him. Oh, that's pretty good, preacher. Wait a minute. Look at verse 3. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know where God feeds? He feeds with his lilies. One of these days, we're going to sit down at the table. He told his disciples, he said, I'll no more eat. I'm not going to take any more fruit of the vine. I'm not going to take it anymore with you until I sit with you at the supper. And Jesus has not ate a meal. Jesus is not going to sit down and take the supper anymore. I said a supper. He's not going to sit down and take a supper anymore. The Passover, anything like that, it's not going to happen until we all get to heaven. And then he's going to sit down and feed with the lilies. By the way, I want to just share something with you. I just got this and I'm done. He's going to feed with those that are as lilies. Is that what it says? That ain't what it says. No. Right now, we're as lilies among the thorns. But then, he's going to feed among the lilies. We know not what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we shall be like he is. One of these days, we're going to sit down with him at a table and be like him. Not above him, but like him. He feedeth among the lilies. That might not do you no good, but that's kind of exciting to me. Because I know what I am today. I'm just an old sorry sinner that he reached down and saved. I was nothing when he found me. Wouldn't be nothing today without him. But one of these days, I'm going to sit eternity in heaven. And I'm going to have a table set up for me that God has set a plate at. And I don't even know what heavenly beings eat. The Bible said they ate that manna. It was angels' food. I don't think we'll be eating manna. I don't know what a spirit needs to eat. But I know when we sit down at that table, that's going to be something spread someday.
Yes,
you know how to keep, you know how to get you out of valleys? There ain't one person. The Savior.
Yes.
That's the only person bring you out. It's the only person get you through. That's the only person worth finding. Oh, I'll find a brother. Listen, I love you, brothers and sisters. I love those in Christ that stand beside me. But there's nothing greater than to know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know Him. I'll ask you this question tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one look around. Personal question tonight. Personal question that. No looking around. How many raise their hands and say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved tonight. I know I'm saved." Amen. All right, you can put your hand down. I wonder if there's one raising hands and say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved." Well, I'd sure like to know. I'd sure like to know. If God's really dealing with you, don't be looking around. Don't be playing games. God's really dealing with you. Good night could be the night you know Him. But you need to know Him. I want pianists to come place one song, one verse, one song. He's a great God. Everything we need's in Him. All the supply, everything we need's in Him. While the pianist plays tonight, listen, if you need to know Him, and I'm not talking about doing it because somebody else told you to or somebody else, or you look, I'm talking about you know you need to know Him. I want you to step out and know Him tonight. You need to know Him tonight. God is dealing with your heart. Preacher, I know I need to know Him. I know I need to know Him. I know I'm not in any shape by myself. I know I'm not in any shape by myself. I need to know Him.